Bill, how long have you been opposed to this?
About 5 years now.
Did something happen for you to wake up, I guess, and say, this is not good?
Well, actually, it was my patients that kept telling me slowly, Bill, you have to look at this stuff. I've been a dentist for 31 years, and I actively promoted fluoridation for about 25. And my patients finally said, look, you got to look at this. And it was other areas of dentistry that I realized that my profession was behind in, that we were still plugging mercury into people's mouths and it shouldn't be done and it didn't need to be done. I thought, well, what else is a problem in my profession? And so I started looking at fluoridation.
All right, Paul, let's get a definition from you on just what is the water fluoridation. How long have they been doing it?
It started in 1945 in the United States, and it was endorsed by the U.S. Public Health Service in 1950 before any trial had been completed and before they'd done any serious medical or health studies. Fluoridation is the deliberate addition of fluoride or a fluoride-containing compound to the water supply at a concentration of approximately one part per million. That's 1 milligram per liter. And this is portrayed as being a very small level, this one part per million. But actually, George, it's 250 times the level of fluoride in mother's milk. Now, mother's milk, as you know, is the baby's first meal. It's the absolutely perfect balance of minerals and proteins and everything else that the baby needs for growth, growth of their teeth, bones, and everything else. So nature was giving us an important message there, but that's been ignored by the American Dental Association and the other avid promoters of this practice. What it means, of course, is that in the communities which are fluoridated, a parent that bottle feeds their baby and makes up the formula with tap water is going to be giving that baby 250 times more fluoride than nature intended, and that, to me, is a very unwise thing to do.
How did this idea come about, Paul?
Well, for about 30 years, at the beginning of the 20th century, they were trying to understand what it was that was causing the strange mottling and discoloration of the teeth in states like Colorado and Texas and Arkansas, Arizona. And eventually, by 1931, three different researchers determined that what was causing this discoloration, mottling of the teeth, was fluoride in the water. And that's when they changed the name from dental mottling to dental fluorosis, which literally means poisoning of the teeth by fluoride. And it is, in fact, the first visible sign that the body has been poisoned.
Now, wait a minute. A little confused here, Paul, because you're saying that originally they spotted things wrong with teeth in these several states.
Absolutely.
And they blame the fluoride, but now they're putting the fluoride in the water because they think it helps our teeth?
Well, yes, but the dentists that were doing this research in the 30s were puzzled by the fact that even though these teeth looked awful, they were black or brown and horrible-looking teeth, they were very surprised that the tooth decay in these children was not high. They expected, when you see the black teeth, you're expecting them to be decayed.
Absolutely.
They weren't.
Okay.
And so they thought, well, maybe we can find a level that we can benefit, we can reduce tooth decay without causing too much dental fluorosis. And they settled on one part per million, because above one part per million in those days, you got a dramatic increase in dental fluorosis. And but at the same time, you kind of got this reduction in tooth decay, and that kind of plateaued out about. It didn't get much more benefit above one part per million. But now, one half of this experiment has not panned out, because now in America, 32% of children have dental fluorosis. Not 10%, but 32%, and including children in non-fluoridated communities. So the simple fact is that we're getting fluoride from many more sources today that we didn't have in 1945. And right now, our kids are being overexposed to fluoride, not underexposed to fluoride.
Paul, how do they produce fluoride? How do they make it?
Well, about 90% of the fluoride that is added to water comes from the scrubbing systems of the phosphate fertilizer industry. This is true. It sounds bizarre.
I heard this years ago, and I couldn't believe it.
Well, in the beginning, in 1945, the fluoride was coming from the aluminum industry. But today, the aluminum industry is anxious to keep hold of the fluoride and make synthetic cryolite, which they need in the production of aluminium. But today, most of it's coming from the phosphate fertilizer industry. And for about 100 years, the gases that were liberated when you treat the phosphate rock with sulfuric acid, two nasty gases, hydrogen fluoride and silicon tetrafluoride, they were really devastating the local environment. They were ruining the vegetation, the citrus groves, and the cattle were crippled near these plants. Eventually, the regulatory agency said, you've got to scrub this stuff. You've got to put on air pollution control devices and capture those gases. And it was very simple. All they had was a spray of water. And this spray of water produces a compound called hexafluorosilicic acid. And when the concentration of that compound reaches about 23 or 24%, it's put in tanker trucks and shipped around the country and put into our drinking water. Ironically, they're not allowed to put that into the sea by international law. They can't dump it locally because it's far too concentrated. And it costs money, of course, to send it to hazardous waste treatment facilities. However, if you can persuade somebody to buy a hazardous waste product, it no longer is classified as a hazardous waste or regulated as a hazardous waste. It's now regulated as a product, as a commercial product. And so basically, water fluoridation represents two extraordinary activities. One, it represents a way of getting rid of hazardous waste, one. And two, it is using the water supply to deliver medication, which is an incredibly unusual, extraordinarily unusual practice. We've only done it once before. We did it with iodine because of goiter and iodine deficiency. But after a very short time after putting iodine in the water, people were coming down with hyperthyroidism, and they stopped. So this is the only time, essentially, that we've used the public water supply to deliver medicine. We put a lot of chemicals in water, but those chemicals are to make the water safe to drink, to kill the bacteria, and so on. But this is, you're literally using the water supply to deliver medication. And, of course, that's a terrible way of delivering medication because you can't control the dose. You can control the concentration at the waterworks. The engineers can make sure it's one part per million most of the time. There have been accidents. But you can't control the dose because you can't control how much water people drink, and you can't control how much fluoride they're getting from other sources. And as I've said, we have the evidence now that kids are being overexposed because the dental fluorosis rates are over the moon.